Scripture reading for our meditation this morning is taken from the first letter of St. Peter, the fifth chapter, beginning with verse 6. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen us in our faith through them. Amen. Many years ago, when I was newly out of seminary, I was teaching a men's Bible study on a Saturday morning, and there was a gentleman in the class who brought up the fact that only three or four houses down from him in his neighborhood, someone had broken in, vandalized the place, stolen a bunch of items, and beat up the homeowner who came home to find this all happening. And this man, who was a neighbor to this, said to everybody in the group as we started the class that day, "Why didn't this happen to me? Why did it happen to my neighbor and not to me?" And there was an elderly gentleman in the class, and I remember he spoke up and said, "Well, maybe it's because you pray the Lord's Prayer every day, 'Deliver us from evil.'" Sometimes we maybe say that little petition so fast and by rote, we hardly remember what it's about or think about what it's about. Sometimes, maybe when we say our prayers, we forget that there could actually be some power to this, that God can actually take the petitions of his saints and use them as to determining what happens in a person's life. Certainly, all things are left up to his good and gracious will. But how often is it that we may say prayers about things and we then forget to possibly connect how God may have answered those prayers, sometimes in ways that we never thought of? It's interesting how often in the Bible God has to write to us and encourage us to pray, urge us to pray, command us to pray, invite us to pray. Why? Why is it that God has to so often come to his faithful in this world and say, "Pray to me, cast your care upon me, bring me your petitions"? You think we'd be wanting to do this all the time. Well, there are four basic reasons, I believe, that often prevent us from praying. One is that sometimes we might be tempted to think, "Well, who am I to go and approach God? Am I worthy to bring my little puny life in front of God and things that trouble me and concern me? Who am I that God should ever want to listen to me?" Here's the great paradox of the Christian faith. The people who realize that they have no right and no worthiness to bring their prayers to God are the very ones that God invites, the strongest. When we realize our unworthiness and our lowliness before God, the only way we can ever approach him is then through Christ and in the name of Christ. And that's exactly the ones that God wants to hear their prayers. You see, God doesn't promise you in the Bible that he's going to somehow listen to your prayer and answer your prayer because there's something so worthy about you. No, it's all based on his mercy. It's all based on what's in his heart that he has demonstrated to you through the work of his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. So sometimes that's the first thing. Sometimes we can be convinced that maybe I'm not worthy to bring my lowly life before God. Secondly, I think sometimes it just comes down to forgetfulness. To be honest with you about myself, that's quite often what it is. I just forget. I forget to pray. I forget to utilize this tremendous blessing and gift. Sometimes I think we're tempted to think about prayer like a fire extinguisher. You've got it in your house and it's there if you really, really are going to need it someday and something really bad happens, you're going to run and use it. But for right now, everything else is okay. I can kind of work through everything. Just this past Sunday at my local church, we sang a hymn that gets me every time I sing it, and it gets me about prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. I think a third reason is we often underestimate the tremendous blessing and valuable treasure that we have in prayer. We tend to look at it the way the unbelieving world looks at it, rather than seeing it the way God describes it to us in Scripture. And finally, and this is maybe the point that St. Peter is addressing more than anything for us, our sinful human pride gets in the way of us coming to God in prayer. Our sinful human pride that stubbornly wants to think, I'm in control of my life. I can handle everything. I can do it. It's all up to me. I can shoulder this. It's kind of like a 12-year-old boy whose father has just bought him his first iPhone and showed him how to use it and said, if you ever need me, I'm going to put a special button on here that you can dial me as fast as you can. If you ever need help, I want you to do it. And the son gets himself into some problem and some trouble, maybe into a bad bike accident, and he's hurt, and he never calls the dad because he thinks, I'm old enough and I'm big enough to be able to handle that. That's kind of a picture of me sometimes as far as how I am to God. I like to think, I can shoulder this. I'm Don Molsted, for goodness sake. I should be able to handle this. Think of all the things I've done in my life. I should be able to do this. We're tempted to forget about God and stubbornly, arrogantly think that somehow we're able to carry the weight of the burdens of our life. Prayer has been described by many theologians as the pulse of a believing heart. I love that. The pulse of a believing heart. In fact, Paul tells us in the book of Romans that the Holy Spirit is constantly making intercessions between us and God, even when we don't even know the words that we are to express. So God comes to us and he invites us to use this gift. He says, cast all your care upon me, not just the big ones. Cast all your cares upon me, all your anxieties, all of your worries. Cast them upon me because he cares for you, he says. He says, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. He doesn't command you to go to your Lord's mother with your prayers. He doesn't command you to go to any other of the saints with your prayers. He commands you to come to him directly to the throne, directly to God on the Almighty throne. And so casting your cares upon God is ultimately found and shown and recognized in the gospel, our great reliance on him. Here we bring all of the burdens of our guilt, of our sin, of the impending judgment that's coming, of the fact that our bodies are going to rot and decay, of the fact that there's an everlasting destruction that could be ahead of us. Talk about cares. Talk about things that can produce anxiety in people. But through the cross and through Christ, we bring all of this burden of our sin and our guilt and death and judgment, and we bring it and put it in the lap of our Savior, who's gone to die for us, risen again, ascended to heaven, and now is preparing a place for us in the mansions above. That's ultimately what this means, to cast all your care upon him. And then that sweet little phrase, for he cares for you. You've got people in your life, I'm sure, that care for you. Your mom, your dad, grandparents, maybe a sibling. There are people in your life in varying degrees that care for you, probably some that you've met right on this campus. But they're all imperfect people. As much as they try to love you and help you, they also are hemmed in and by the boundaries of only the certain things that we can do where things are out of our control. But think of it that the Almighty God, who has created that care in your mom and dad and everybody else, the Almighty God says to you, I care for you. And he's shown that to you through the cross. He's the one who controls everything. And he now invites you to come and pray to him. A pastor many years ago said, it's almost as if God is like a king with this beautiful, huge treasure. And he invites the people in his kingdom to come and ask him for anything out of the treasure. And people keep coming up and saying, well, I'd like maybe one little pearl. Or could I possibly have a tiny little stone? And he's waiting with shovels to just give them more and more. But they keep asking for such tiny little things. God invites us to bring our biggest petitions before him. The biggest things that trouble us in our life and our wants and needs and desires, and then put them in his lap and say, your will be done, because you, God, always know better for me than I will ever know. So come to him in prayer. Amen. And let us do that now. Please rise. We join today in a special prayer on behalf of one of our students, Dalton Kleinschmidt, and his family. Dalton's brother, only age 17, died very suddenly this week. So we'll keep all of them in our prayers. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we come before you on behalf of the Kleinschmidt family, and particularly our fellow student Dalton, in this time of great sadness and loss. We pray that you would be with them and comfort them through your word through these very difficult days, and that you would uplift them with the wonderful hope of life in heaven through the promises we have in our Savior. Teach all of us to number our days that we may gain hearts of wisdom through faith in that Redeemer. We pray this all in his saving name. Amen.